Alright, time for another graphphysics.com video presentation and such and so forth and whatnot. Alright, so sort of an announcement. I did make an air track. Okay, so yes, eventually I'll be doing some experiments with it. So I modified on the conventional structure, and who knows if that's a good idea or a bad idea. I guess I'll find out. So I just used PVC pipe and a leaf blower, okay. And so it's basically just a pipe inside of another piece of pipe. So, and the two do seem to move okay-ish. It's not great. The spring thing I haven't worked out yet. And so just for now, I just have rubber bands on the ends to hit each other, and it works fairly well. But, you know, it doesn't, like, the cart doesn't bounce back and forth. You know, it's not great yet. But I think it's good enough for the purpose of doing a few experiments. So hopefully I'll get around to that in the next couple of days, and we'll see what we get. See if it's good enough for the purpose, and blah, 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 blah. So coming soon, just to see how the weather is and timing wise and whatnot. So we'll go to comments, and just kind of irritating, you know, that people aren't more interested in these subjects. Like this whole thing Veritasium is brought up. It was sort of like that with that wind car thing. Everybody just talked past each other. So lots of people have ideas, but nobody really debates anything. And now they're doing it with voltage, you know, and there's this, it's just kind of a fundamental argument about how much, I mean, to me, there's no argument, because it's really just about induction. And everybody should agree that, yes, there's some inductive current, but it's really small, and it's not until the real current shows up that you can start doing real work, that the field effect is very minor. And that's all it is. It's just induction. It's just a very crappy transformer. And the transformer gets better the bigger, the closer you bring the conductor, the more you turn it into a capacitor. But this video will talk about some more about gravity. So the Parapologic guy made a reply. That's not what I want. Hit the more button here. I'll answer the reply, since Superior Mind might not even know that he has replied. And he points out how his comment didn't post. Well, it's because, yes, I'm reviewing comments. I mean, yours should post. I have you listed as automatically allowed to post, always approve comments. So it's not my fault that YouTube's not doing that. Typically it just doesn't do anything it's supposed to do. All right, I'm not claiming to be right, but here's what the devil's advocate living in my head says. The velocity vector of the orbiting body is the product of the adding the vectors of the tangential acceleration and the radial acceleration. The radial acceleration due to gravity is different at every single angle from the sphere's surface. Well, first, there is no such thing. It really is an least line. Nothing's really moving the tangent line, the combined line. There really is two separate forces. One force is doing this, and one force is doing this. And so it's really, you could say, a staircase. You can turn into a lot of things, but it's really not, a single force. It's not a single acceleration. It's the combination of two accelerations. And yes, they're combined into one net product, but the net product on the elemental level isn't consistent. It isn't some new line. It's some new product. I don't know how to say it exactly. You can't see this small, right? We're talking about billions and billions and billions of, this is like taking pi, millions of digits or something. And on the real scale, the two forces are fundamentally acting completely independent. The velocity is completely independent of the gravity. the two forces are acting completely independent of each other. All right. While you might remain in the shadow, the velocity vector must continually change in order to remain in free fall. So again, that's just wrong. You know, it doesn't continuously change except for the fact that the gravity continuously changes, gets stronger and stronger and stronger as you get closer to the Earth, but you never factually get closer to the Earth because you're really being, it's not like you're being taken out of your orbital path, you're being taken out of a non-orbital path. Your velocity is saying go straight out of Earth orbit. You're being forced into Earth orbit. So you really never change your gravitational potential. If you're in 9.8 meters per second, you stay in 9.8 meters per second. You can't get out of it, but you keep falling into it. You keep falling into exactly the same amount of gravity. Consistently in order to remain in free fall towards the center of gravity. But the shadow is what's defining the angle of radial acceleration. So again, you're not getting the shadow thing right. So the simplest way I can argue it, where's my pen? Oh, here it is. Is that I think, you know, the other commenter is going to make a comment, so I guess I might as well combine the two and just point out what I think you're missing as a way of understanding. When you say shadow, you're not shadowing objects. So it's not like there's an object here, you're here, and you're creating a shadow on some third object. That's not the idea. The idea is you're shadowing space. Empty space is what you're shadowing. So there, you're shadowing space in all directions. In all directions, think of the black part of space as being light, and think of the little dots of light as being dark. That's the reality. So you're blocking the force from empty space, okay? That's what you're shadowing. So your shadow is everywhere. It's in every single direction. You're making a shadow, you know, you're shadowing. Every bit of space is getting shadowed. This is the shadow line. The shadow, I mean, do it this way. Shadow, shadow. Everything is shadowed. Every single direction has been shadowed, okay, by your existence. You're shadowing space. You're not shadowing objects. You're not casting shadows on objects. You're casting, so no matter where this object is, I put this object here, I put this object here, I put this object, doesn't matter where I put this object, I'm in the same shadow as long as this distance is the same. So the distance will tell you how big the shadow is. And as long as I'm at the same distance, I'm going to be in exactly the same strength of shadow. So we know this could be gravity, this could be whatever, 1 meter per second gravity out this far, you know, and it's 9 meters, 9.8 here on Earth, you know, and you're just going further and further out. And if you're moving this way and a force is pushing you against that tangent, I mean, you know, it's pushing you this way. You're moving this way, okay, and the force is pushing you in. It is a tangent to the circle, right? Isn't that a perpendicular to the circle? Well, anyway, to the surface, and you're getting pushed this way by the gravity, and the gravity is just creating a combined and net product that ends up being a circle, but you didn't really travel the circle. You traveled a broken line created by the force that was pushing you in. So you kept doing little arcs. I don't know how to even say it. But it doesn't matter. The point is you always end up in the same gravity. No matter where you go, it's the same gravity. Unless you increase your acceleration and you're starting to fly out of that orbit, then you'll end up in weaker gravity out here. And that way you can spiral you out, and then you can spiral in. So, you know, if I decrease your velocity, you fall into the sun. I increase your velocity, you spiral out of the solar system. Yeah. Not that complicated, really. All right. So there's no shadow delay. There's no interaction between the gravitational forces. Each object is producing a field around it, and everywhere has already got a gravitational potential. Nothing has to be in the field. The sun doesn't need to be any planets. It doesn't need there to be any asteroids. And still, at every single location, there's already gravity from the sun. The shadow already exists. It doesn't need something to move into position to see the shadow. Let's see. Is there any way of testing whether gravity acts instantaneously or according to light speed accounting according to this model? Well, I mean, those tests have already been done, I think. And I think they go back to, whatever that guy who used the lead balls and all that kind of stuff. So I think some of those experiments, done in the modern way, have demonstrated that gravity does have a speed to it. Okay. NASA Voyager probe orbits the sun, but it's over 21 light hours away. During the time it takes the sunlight to travel to Voyager, the sun has moved over 16 million kilometers along its galactic orbital path. Well, so has the Voyager. It already has that velocity too. So that part doesn't matter. Any motion the sun has, Voyager already has, because it left Earth, and Earth already has that same motion. Yes, the sun's moving this way through space, and the Earth's going around it this way through space, but the Earth is also going this way. The sun's going this way. The Earth happens to be going around. The moon happens to be going around again, but it has both the Earth's velocity and the sun's velocity. They're all moving. They already have that velocity. The sun has moved over 16 million kilometers along its galactic orbital path. It travels at 225 kilometers a second. Okay, I'm not going to argue with that, but I wouldn't trust those numbers, but whatever. Okay, if light and gravity only move in one dimension in absolute space, how can Voyager, when its orbital position is perpendicular to the sun's orbital path, be pushed toward the sun by the shadow of the sun's location after it's traveled over 16 million kilometers relative to the galaxy? Because it's moving so much slower than the speed of light. So yes, this gravitational well is moving. It's moving so much slower than the speed of light, okay, that any change in its movement can't possibly create any fluctuation that wouldn't be happening at a speed that you could perfectly account to. So it can't outmaneuver you, especially when you're already moving the same speed in the same direction. It really can't outmaneuver you. You're collectively moving inside the car, okay? Voyager and the sun and the Earth, they're all moving collectively in a car. They're already in their own frame, so to speak, all right? So everything that happens to them position-wise, you can't do anything to radically change their positions, all right, because they're all doing the 221 million miles an hour or whatever you want to say they're going, okay? So whatever dopey speed you give them, the only speed differences between them are really slow speed differences, just the speed of Voyager, which might be 20,000 miles an hour, right? Voyager's not going all that fast. So let's say it's going 20,000, which would be a high number, because, you know, at that number, it could be blown up by a grain of sand. 25,000 mile an hour sand hitting it would blow holes in it. So it can't go very fast in the solar system. In the absolute universe, it can't be going all that fast or it'll be blown to bits. So everything in the solar system has to be moving with it. The sand, okay, all of the every little mini meteorite, all the crap in the solar system has to be going the same speed, because if the Voyager was going 225 kilometers a second, then that means every grain of sand in the solar system would be, you know, deadly. If it wasn't also moving the same speed. All right. I think that addresses your point. All right, so this guy chimes in, PCAC. I guess he's saying, let's say Jupiter is shadowing the sun. So again, just this whole idea of this, it's shadowing empty space. Okay, empty space is what has the energy. By a piece of matter absorbs the energy, and it creates a shadow. And you know, the shadow is technically not black. Okay, the shadow just means like sunglasses. It's creating opacity to the energy from the universe. So every little piece of matter absorbs energy. So everything, no matter where you're looking at it, if you're looking at any star or any piece of matter in the universe, you're really looking at something that is absorbing energy out of the system. So it should be seen as a dark spot, not a light spot. And it's only because we happen to see a particular wavelength of light that it looks hot, but it's really cold in the sense that it's absorbing energy out of the hot universe. All right, and the sun and then Jupiter moves out of the shadow it created. So it can't move out of the shadow because it's shadowing space. It's not shadowing objects. The shadow hit Jupiter, okay, but in a more spread out form, inverse square law, the force pulling on Jupiter will not be at an angle. So the sun will not pull back Jupiter to where it was previously was. The point is the gravity's already in all the locations you can travel to. So any location you travel to, the gravity is already set for that location. You're not going to change that by moving to a different location. You're not changing the sun's location. All right, the force acting on Jupiter is still identical as if it was still in that previous position. The point is your distance from the sun tells you how much gravity you're going to be in from the sun. Your distance to the moon tells you how much gravity you're going to be in based on how far you are from the moon. I mean, everything, every object has a field it's creating, and that field moves with the object. And the assumption is, in this case, that all of the objects in the solar system are moving the same speed through the galaxy. Okay, because the force was created by the previous Jupiter's position, not the current Jupiter. So again, there's no force changing positions. That would only be for Jupiter's effect on the sun. And again, those effects do take time to get to the sun. But again, this, you know, those effects are so minor that we're not going to be able to detect them anyway. Think about a fabric in Earth gravity. I don't know if that's going to make any sense. When the orbits curve the fabric, the individual orbs will only know that the other orbs curve the fabric. I mean, gravity isn't one of those kind of curves, you know, in the sense that it does go forever. And so it sort of gives you an illusion that gravity is very finite, to think of it as these dimples in space. But, I mean, yes, it does get incredibly weak over long distances. So yes, it's only when real depressions in the fabric combine that this is an issue. But again, it's not an issue because all the objects are moving collectively. They're all in. They have uncommon frames and they have common frames. There's frames that are common to all the objects, so those velocities mean nothing because they all have those velocities. And then there's velocities that are different between them. And the velocities that are different between the Earth and the Sun are really small velocities, and the Earth and Jupiter, very small velocity difference. So those changes are tiny, and again, those changes are mostly affecting the sun, not affecting Jupiter. All right, at the speed of sound in the fabric, as you can see, in the orbit doesn't fall apart. I don't know if this is worth looking at, but we'll do it anyway. I have to wait on the ads, blah, 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 blah. Do, 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 blah, 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 blah. So music, which I really don't like much. So I don't think this would be an explanation of anything.
This is a model of how gravity works, according to Einstein.
All right, so it's really not a good model, okay, because nothing, it's fake in the sense that it captures objects because of this friction, okay? Because of the amount of friction there is with the surface, you don't get a true impression of the fact that when you throw something in, it's going to either crash into the thing in the middle or it's going to fly out. It's not going to be in any orbits. It doesn't get captured into orbits. It either crashes in or flies out. That's what really happens, okay? And the only way things get trapped in the solar system in the sense of not falling in or not flying out is they have to crash into each other and lose some velocity. The velocity that pushed them in, they have to lose that or they're not going to stay because they have too much energy to stay. So you have to, if you came from the outside, you have to lose energy. If you come from the inside out, you have to gain energy. So there's no way to be in an orbit without gaining if you're too weak or losing if you're too strong. So it doesn't provide a very good example. It's just a toy, you know. And it's disappointing that they use this example. I mean, the one thing it can show is that the resonant frequency kind of argument, the argument that is it's about how much energy is going in one direction, so everything will end up going in the same direction because over time one direction wins and one direction has to lose. So it can be chaos in the beginning where things are going opposite directions, but in the end it's all going to be going one direction. All right. I don't think there's anything else useful here. It's not a perfect analogy. Yeah. And blah, 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 blah.
Planets to the star in the center.
So this, like I said, this really won't happen. You can't drop something from out here and have it get caught in a spiral. It loses so much energy, that's what allows that to happen. What will really happen is it'll loop down, curl around, and fly back out again. Or it'll hit the thing in the center. But those are really the only two choices from the outside edge. Alright. So, anything coming into the solar system with energy is doomed to leave the solar system unless it hits something. Alright. So, not totally useless. Alright, so I think that was it for the comments. Somebody asked a stupid comment on the message board, so I guess I could go find that. Alright, oh, I didn't realize I didn't have the screen on, but that's okay, you don't need to see comments, really. So there's a new one here, Draft Science for versus Dr. Pieper. Okay, by the way, found this chart that might help your claim, muscle velocity chart against powder weight. Well, I just think it's a little bit dangerous, but I mean, going by the weight of the powder probably is a good idea because they can't screw that up in the sense they can't make up a number about how many joules the weight of the powder has. So I guess a straight on comparison that you don't, you know, that you only have a 2-to-1 relationship, twice as much powder, twice as much velocity, not 4 times as much velocity, and certainly not 1.4, you know. So I'll look at that later. It's a forum, apparently, so I don't know how perfect, I mean, you know, anybody can write a chart, right? So we have to figure out whether the chart has credibility, but thanks for the link. I will look into it. All right, so somebody says, don't you think they weighted the carts and added the clay to make the mass of the carts correct? So, I mean, in these videos, I have gone over it in detail. I mean, detail, pointing out to you that all you're starting with, I mean, I'm just going to do it just to mock you, okay, because this is just so fucking stupid. If I thought that, then that's what I would say, you shithead. I'm clearly not, I don't think so, okay? That's why I'm arguing exactly for the opposite position, is because I obviously don't think so. So, I mean, it's just so goddamn stupid. All right, and so you keep defending something that's just an indefensible position. Okay, I probably have enough room here. I mean, the carts are sold a size, you idiot. Okay, there's the naked cart. Okay, here's the little triangle part here. Blah 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 blah. All right, they're sold a certain size. Okay, and every single company sells them. Okay, in this kind of arrangement, one, okay, like that would be 10 centimeters, and this would be 20 centimeters, and this one would be 30 centimeters. That's how the carts are sold. And then you add attachments like springs, okay, or Velcro or some other kind of crap. Or you can add weights to the cart. So you could add extra weight to the two-mass cart, or you could add an extra weight to the one-mass cart. And you can clearly see the metal weights on Professor Lewin's cart, okay? Their metal weights are there. So you can just look at the carts and you can see that this one has two attachments. Well, let's say that's 20 grams. Well, if this cart's supposed to be twice as heavy, you have to add 40 grams, right? So two attachments wouldn't be enough. You'd have to add four attachments, or you wouldn't have the same, you wouldn't be doubling the mass, right? So if you're starting with 200 grams, let's say this one weighs, and this one weighs 100 grams, you do understand if you want this one to weigh twice as much and you added 20 to this one, you have to add 40 to this one. And if there's one weight on this cart, only one weight, and this cart only has one weight, then it's clearly short a weight. So if the weight is 20 grams, well, then this one is short 20 grams. So it's minus another 20 grams, minus 20 grams, right? We lost 20 from the lack of attachments. We lost 20 because we don't have two weights on it. All right, and then we have a blob of clay on this cart, okay? This cart has a blob of clay. No fucking blob of clay on this cart. So now it's missing another, who knows, 25 grams worth of blob of clay. You get how fast it adds up? I mean, I can't believe you people are this fucking stupid. The cart that has, you have every logical reason to think that the cart that is underweight is this cart. This cart does not weigh enough. And it's perfectly logical to understand it can't possibly weigh enough because it doesn't have more shit on it. It has less shit on it. It can't be twice the mass if it only has one weight. It can't be twice the mass if it only has two attachments. It can't be twice the mass if it doesn't have a blob of clay. And this one does have a blob of clay. You're too stupid to understand this argument? Fuck. No, you're too dishonest. Shit, you're just lying pieces of crap. I wish you would sign this just so we know who this dishonest jackass is who has to type this tripe over and over again to just keep making these stupids. Don't you think? No, I don't think. I'm rational and logical, okay? I don't think things that are stupid. The cart that looks way underweight is the two-mass cart. Why would I think putting clay on the one-mass cart would fix the fact that the two-mass cart is too light? You don't, you know, if you're trying to get two human beings to be the same weight, you don't give the food to the fat one. Fuck. All right. LOL, you claim to hate trolls except when they're on your side. Look at all the trash comments they kept up by this loser. And they're generic comments. These are nothing comments. Let's just remember that these troll pseudo-critics, oh, gee, he called them a pseudo-critic. Woo! What a horrible personal attack. No, that's not a personal attack. You know, we'll be disproving momentum in the act of trying to prove Gary wrong. Yes, they're disproving momentum, which is just so frickin' stupid. They're clearly attacking conservation of energy because that's all this stupid Leibnizian religion can do is create free energy nonsense. Couldn't get any more funny, could it? Yes, no, it really is. It's the irony is hilarious. So anyway, so they royally fucked up. So that's the extent of this horror. So what the hell is this? Dishonest Tactic 1000. Accuse a person of not actually believing what they say. Yes, is this guy doing that? No. That's what your side is doing. Okay, you won't find a lie in any of this guy's critiques. There's no lies in here. About he's not lying about anybody's behavior or anybody's what they've done on the internet. Okay, I block liars. Okay, if you can't premise your fucking arguments with something other than fucking idiotic lies, I'm not going to waste my time defending myself against stupid and idiotic lies. So if you can't paraphrase and quote me anywhere close to accurate, fuck you. Okay, yeah, I know, I'm not wasting my time fixing that. You want to call me an asshole? Go ahead. I'm not afraid of a few name calls, okay, but I'm not going to accept if one of those name calls is calling me a liar, okay, without quoting the lie, all right? Unless you can prove your accusations, you got no right to make them. Fuckheads. All right, anyway. No, the wrong thing is still up. Doesn't really matter. Really doesn't matter in the scheme of things. You don't need to see the stupid ragged comment, but it's there, you know, down here. It's down further, somewhere in there. But anyway, alright, enough of this crap. So, anyway, so we should see in a couple of days. I'll see what kind of experiments I can film and whatnot. The spring thing is... I was thinking about elastic. So I was thinking about things where... you actually have a demonstration of it, right? And a super ball is a really good example, right? Because you drop a super ball and it really bounces back like 90%. But when you think about all the other stuff, it really isn't quite that good, right? And so as much as I think springs are cool and interesting, they really aren't as efficient as you have the perception of. They're only efficient when you make them very long, you know, and coiled. So when you have a tightly coiled spring and then you put a weight on it, okay, that produces a pretty good spring in the sense it'll oscillate for quite a while. But most other springs suck at oscillating. So when I thought about it, finding the right spring has been a little bit tricky. So I haven't found anything that really works. You know, where, like you're saying, you get 85% of the energy back or something, you know, some good percentage. So I haven't found that yet. So I was even thinking of buying some little super balls from China or something. Just because that, you know, that's that whatever kind of rubber that is, you know, it's very elastic in the sense that it gives you back what you put in. And that's what I'm looking for. So that's been one complication. The fact that my cars are different, you know, it's the round and, you know, they can't spin, you know, and I don't want to weight them because then they'll, you know, I want to keep them as floaty as possible. So anyway, well, we'll see. Anyway, I'm just saying, so maybe it'll take a few days, but to work out the bugs, but we'll see. And such, and so forth, and whatnot. So, till the next time, and such. And, yeah, I think that's enough. Ugh, internet. Yeah, that's it. Alright, so this has been a draftphysics.com video presentation. Till the next time, and such, and so forth, and whatnot.